It's a couple minutes after 8 o'clock, straight up on a Monday. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here on what's going to be an absolutely perfect and gorgeous Laguna Beach day. So we've been talking about her all morning. Judy Mancuso is running for Assembly District 72, and that encompasses a large swath of Orange County, all the way from Seal Beach, inland to Lake Forest, to Laguna Beach right here. And pre-primary polls back in May had her coming in third behind two Republicans. She won that race, defeating both her opponents and setting up a head-on race between herself and Republican Diane Dixon. We welcome for the conversation this morning, Judy Mancuso. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here this morning. I know you've been busy running around crazy the last couple of days. You had a debate with your opponent. How is the campaign itself going right now?
It's good. There's a lot of momentum. Right. I've been in all the cities, all eight cities, for, 9 months now. So I've met so many people and, we're like-minded.
Right.
We seem to have the same values, and that gives me hope that there's definitely a clear shot for me to win. It just, at the end of the day, is about people showing up, sending those ballots back, going in and voting and getting the job done.
Are you noticing what I'm noticing? And I did, especially after your last debate with your opponent, that even those that were predisposed to be her vote are kind of now starting to talk to you more, to lean over toward you a little more. Are you noticing that?
I am noticing it, and I'm noticing it from others telling me their stories, too.
Right.
At the candidate forum on Wednesday at the Newport Beach Library, a friend was sitting, a no-party preference friend, sitting next to a Republican
right.
of Newport Beach who didn't know me, and after the forum said, "I'm voting for Judy."
Right.
So it's happening. I've got, I need the no party preference folks, can use the Republicans because of voter registration
right.
is not in our favor as far as Democrats. It's 39% Republican, 33% Democratic, 28% no party preference and others. So,
okay.
I need them.
So you started, your entire career was in information technology, and that translated into some of the management skills that you've developed. How has that helped you legislatively?
I mean, it's given me all the tools in my toolbox that I needed, besides the real world experience that you get from being on the ground and doing it. My management skills in information technology meant managing big groups of people. It would be engineers. It would be the, vice presidents or heads of the department that we were creating software for. It was the end users. So you had a business problem or some kind of thing you needed to bring into the new age and automate, and you'd come up with a solution, but you needed to manage all those groups in order to get there successfully, and then making any changes after the fact and getting it executed. So on the ground in Sacramento, it is exactly the same. You have the legislators who are kind of like your business owners. You have the end users, which is the public.
Right.
You've got, the different groups coalition building. Well, who are the ones, the user groups that wanted it, or whether it's the consumers. So, I mean, I never anticipated it migrating over like that.
Right.
It just happened.
It's just a natural progression,
yes,
it would seem.
Yes.
So I saw something this weekend that really it had your fingerprints all over it because you've been fighting for it for 15 years. So in fighting climate change and combating pollution, you've been working to ensure that polluters are always held accountable for their actions. And the Environmental Protection Agency is going to create a new National Office of Environmental Justice now to address the disproportionate harm that pollution and climate change has caused to low-income areas and communities of colors. When I heard that, I thought, that's just got Judy's signature all over it. You've been working on that exact thing for 15 years.
It's a long time coming, and, I am so impressed. I mean, everybody, there's this, Joe Biden's old, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's gotten so much done, And the fact that we're finally going to have an office such as that just shows you how progressive and how much is getting done. I mean, we still have these Democrats like the Manchins dragging us back, holding us down, which is what I talk about on the campaign trail, because people say, well, I mean, the Democrats already have a supermajority. Why do you need another Democrat? And I say, well, not all Democrats are created equal.
There you go. There you go. Joe Manchin been a problem as a Democrat forever. He is the thorn in the side of the Democrats in the Senate. You're talking about prioritizing public health and expanding access to critical health care services, and also addressing the behavioral, mental health and housing needs. How does that happen? How does that happen legislatively once you're elected?
Well, we have in the county of Orange something called Cal Optima, which is a portal for people to find insurance for them and their situation. So it could be Medicaid, Medicare, something with the Affordable Health Care Act. And I think that is what needs to be expanded across the state, is this universal coverage. I do believe everyone needs to be covered. And, you know, people say, well, I don't want to pay for somebody else's stuff. Well, you are anyway, right? It's like I was at the Democratic Club speaking to everyone the same night Dawn Price from the Friendship Shelter was there, and she gave a presentation, and it was astounding. The latest numbers are, it's like 105,000, and this is an estimate, somewhere around there, to deal with a person that is homeless on the street versus 50-something thousand to actually help them and get them shelter and on their way to, getting better. And so it's this penny-wise, pound-foolish thing that so many people think, oh, I don't want to put my taxpayers there. Your taxpayer money's already there. Right. And it's getting wasted when you are dealing with things on the back end versus the front end.
It's costing twice as much to kick the can down the road than it is to actually pick the can up and do something about it. Right.
And then it's productive for everybody.
Right. I want to talk about public safety in a minute, but right now, and maybe it is at this moment, what is the biggest priority here in the 72nd District? For you, and maybe your first priority when you get into office?
Well, one of the things that everyone complains about, including myself, is how expensive everything is right now.
Right.
And we are limited at the state on what we can do about it, but I do believe a lot of it comes from price gouging. Right. There is certain problems that is supply chain, labor shortage, Ukraine. There's all kinds of factors, but a big part of it is also price gouging. And there are laws on the books for it, but they're not strong enough. And so my legislative director, Nick, him and I were brainstorming one day, and I said, would you please look into what is existing law, and let's see if there's something to do there. So he did, and we went over, it's like Penal Code 396 or 397, we went over it and we were like, wow, well, we could do this, we could do that. So, yes, a lot of it is the pandemic, supply chain, yada, yada. But, the oil companies have had this windfall profit, and people, a lot of it can boil down to greed sometimes, right. I'm sorry to say.
Right. You and I have a mutual friend had pinned a lot of our inflation problems on child tax credits and giving college graduates a break on their having gone to college, and I just thought it was corporate greed. It was the fact that giant corporations simply jack up the prices when they can, and they take advantage of the consumer. And I heard crickets after that. So, I think, how do we solve that? How do we cure that?
Well, I mean, my opponent, Diane, the first thing she said was the gas tax. Everything, the sun rises and sets based on this gas tax. It's 53 cents.
Right.
And it, you know, if gas is $5-6 a gallon and you take away 53 cents, okay, that helps. But there's no guarantee that the oil companies don't come in and jack it back up again.
Right.
You're not saying, hey, we're going to take this 53 cents away and you will feel it at the tank. No, it's a crapshoot because the prices are based off what the oil companies are doing. And, you know, they say, oh, well, green technology, that's because of we can't frack, we can't do this. You know, we need, you know, we've got all this oil. Well, we export something like 35% of our oil overseas and we import oil. So this whole like, oh, our oil, that's not up to the state of California, number one. It's up to the various companies. And here, the United States imported about 8.47 million barrels from 73 countries. Okay, well, let's just take this argument off the table and get to a sustainable place so that we're not having to deal with our economy is on the table every time a country, a bad actor, right, acts up or somebody wants to jack up the prices. So, you know, I mean, let's see, where's the percentage here? I want to tell you what it was. Crude oil exports. Yeah, 35%. We send out.
Right. Right. So you mentioned your opponent, and I want to do the numbers. I want to do the math with you together. So you beat Diane Dixon in the primary by a percentage point, with Benjamin Yu siphoning 14% of the Republican vote. Between now and November, can you convince 14% of that vote to go for you? And is this, does this message resonate with them? How do you reach them? And what would you tell someone who normally wouldn't consider you?
Well, I think this women's rights issue and has really woken people up. Midterms are usually pretty boring. Right. There's not a top of the ticket to go fight for with President. Gavin Newsom is safe in his seat. Katie Porter, however, needs us, and she's kind of the top of the ticket for us. But I don't think anyone in my generation and beyond or below would have thought that we'd see Roe versus Wade overturned. Right. I mean, it's just insanity. And so I think that's going to be a motivator that would not have been there. I mean, you look at Kansas and you go, wow,
right,
wow.
Right.
So
53% of the Republican women in Kansas voted to keep abortion legal.
I mean, that just shows you that how I can make up those numbers,
right,
because she is not pro-choice. She is not for Prop 1. She said she is not voting for it. She's endorsed by the most right-wing groups that believe, you know, a woman, a 10-year-old, should be forced to have a baby, even in incest and rape. And, you know, this is just not who we are. And my goodness, it's the year 2022. Are you kidding me?
Right. I want to play a soundbite of her the other night at the forum, and I want you to respond to her soundbite, if you would.
Very
please.
Good. Thank you.
All right.
Just as you've heard my opponent speak, the Democrats are conflating the right to abortion with women's rights issues. So let me just separate the two.
How can you separate the two, the right to an abortion with women's rights? How can she possibly separate the two? What's your response to her there?
I guess it's a Republican talking point sent down from Lindsey Graham, because now they're talking about it's not a women's right and somehow it's about late-term abortion, like in North Korea and China. I mean, they are going out of the universe right now. They're on a rocket ship to another planet that none of us can make out. I mean, as far as a woman's right, if you, Ed, go to the doctor and go and they close the door and they say, Ed, these tests came up with this. Here's your route of the things you can do. And then you go back and answer questions, ask questions, and then make a decision.
Right.
That's your right.
Right.
We deserve to be equal to that, Period. End of story.
I would lose my mind if I lost a right that was mine to make. I would absolutely lose my mind. Again, it's the difference between being a man and being a woman right now, and who could support that? So, yeah. I'm
I can't go any further. I just can't.
Right. So you support Assembly Bill 5. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, that already was a done deal,
right?
And then there was another one that came up. Well, you know, so this is another one that the Republicans have big speaking points that, you know, everything shut down and the world stopped after AB 5. I have been on this campaign trail for months now, and I haven't had one person, business owner, worker, anyone, bring up AB 5 and say, oh, God, right. AB 5, what it's done to my life, Judy. Right. Not one. Right. So what it boiled down to was codifying an existing law and you know, giving workers rights that if they meet this means test and they are an employee, they get treated like one. That's what it was about. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, where there's money to be made, there's exploitation. Does everybody do it? No. Will some employers do it? Absolutely, yes. Right. And so do we need laws on the books to protect workers? Yes, of course we do. You know, and that's what this was about. So it passed. It then got redone and there was some changes to it. To me, it's in the books. It's over with. If it needs to come back, I will look at whatever comes back and make a decision. But in real life, it doesn't seem like it's had much of an effect on anybody because I haven't heard a thing about it. I've heard about crime. I've heard about homelessness. I've heard about health care and jobs and all that. But AB 5 just has not come up on the list.
All right. Let's talk about public safety for a second. You are supported by Moms Demand Action Gun Sense candidate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And which is important because we're looking to improve public safety by investing in strategies that have been proven to reduce criminal recidivism. Tell us how you put those together.
Well, I mean, I don't think we need weapons of mass destruction on our streets. And that's what these AK whatevers are, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like the police, when you watch that Uvalde school shooting and how the police were afraid to go in themselves and therefore the children were just mowed down. How can we as a society allow ourselves to continue on when we have all these horrendous examples, one after another after another? So, you know, they say, oh, well, let's raise the age to 21 for an assault weapon. A, why do we need an assault weapon? B, if you're looking at jacking up the age, 21, keep it going. How about 40 years old before you can get one?
Right. So, California gun laws, are they strict enough? What would we change about California gun laws?
So I was in this candidate forum, and someone from the Brady campaign was there, and they explained to us current law and other laws and why California's got some good ones, but then they talked about some of the gaps.
Right.
And there was definitely room. One bill that was done, and I don't remember the year. I think it was Kevin De Leon that carried it, that had to do with this fingerprint that, you know, the gun doesn't shoot unless it recognizes your fingerprint. That seems like a great law.
Right.
You know, it failed. Why did it fail? Because the NRA fattened up everybody's pockets. And this is the problem with special interests getting in the way and donating to even Democrats' campaigns to where then they get foggy on what their decision should be when it's so clear cut in front of them.
Is the NRA supporting your opponent?
Well, they have in the past. And when you Google her and the NRA and guns, she comes up with a 92% approval rating from the NRA, And then there's some of these other pistol groups, California, blah, blah, blah. And they all give her an A. She has not taken money specifically from them. This, I don't know. The new campaign contribution list comes out within the next couple weeks. So we'll see if she's taken any money from them. But she has in the past.
Okay. All right. And I want to play a little soundbite of her the other night talking about her concerns with crime, and then maybe you can talk about it on the other side.
We have crime that is not indigenous to California. We have in Newport Beach and Huntington Beach very real crime, and maybe also in Laguna Beach, the Central American crime gangs are coming in, and the reality of these crimes is that they don't have driver's licenses, they don't have fingerprints, they are new to the crime world in America, and they commit a crime, and so they are released immediately because they have no criminal record.
Is she fear-mongering there?
I think it's fear-mongering and dog whistling.
Okay.
Yeah. crime is committed by everyone, it seems. You know, when we look at who's breaking into homes and this and that, I mean, they're usually local, you know. Do we have a crime problem? Yes. Is it all one group that comes in from panga boats? I don't think so.
Right.
Could they be a part of the problem? Sure. You know, but there's this theme with Republicans that they always want to point to people of color. It's just the way it is. Right. And to me, it's racism. What I would rather do is look at the data, look at the statistics. We know that we had a big problem with overcrowding in our prisons, and so we changed some laws to get people out of prison. We know we've been housing the mentally ill in prison that we shouldn't be doing and that we need a whole other solution for, which Gavin Newsom is paying attention to and putting money where his mouth is and new laws.
Do we need a state mental health system like we used to have with the Patton hospitals and those? Do we need state-run mental health facilities?
Maybe it could be public-private partnerships. Those always seem to do good. But I think so. I mean, I went back in this candidate forum and start talking about the Ronald Reagan days when he just closed down the mental institutions. I did all this research over the years of what went on, you know, because I remember it historically as a young kid when it was happening and mom and dad talking about it. But I've been digging deep into the last, you know, 40, 50 years. So he let everybody out of the mental institutions. The very next year, the prison population doubled, and then just kept going from there. So then it was, if the Democrats talked about helping people on the streets, the Republicans would slap them down, you know, like, oh, you're being weak wanting to help people. How dare you want to help people? And then the Democrats would recoil. Oh, I didn't really mean it. Oh, no, I don't really want to help those people.
I wasn't really helping.
Yeah. And so all this has led to this barrage of homelessness. And then the pandemic, affordable housing, you know, exploitation of workers.
Right.
I mean, come on. There's a lot of factors here. And the mental health is number one. So now it got to a point when Schwarzenegger was in office that there was a lawsuit that came down from the Supreme Court that said you have to let people out. He didn't do it. It fell on Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown then was forced to let out the, you know, less offenders,
right,
to get the capacity to 137% over the capacity, not even at 100%.
Right.
That's how bad it was. And so then he's let these people out, and it's become this, you know, ball game of them just reoffending, coming back. It's got to all change. Obviously, it has to change. So, you know, let's put our money where the success is. Anti-recidivism programs, gun control, education, 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 and let's clean it up because we have created this nightmare.
Will you try in the assembly to get your other assembly members, your fellow assembly members, to draw the spine to do that?
Yes, and I think there's plenty that already are on that bandwagon and need another vote like myself to be there and help them to get these things done. And like I said, we've got a good governor ready to do it.
Right.
So it's just, a matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of money coming towards it. You know, I'm hopeful. I really am. I'm hopeful in this area.
Right. Before we let you go, if you had a couple of minutes to let our audience know the main differences between yourself and your opponent and your intentions once elected.
Well, I am pro women's rights, pro choice. You know, she is not. I am for gun control. She is not. I believe in the climate change, the climate crisis that we're in. I feel we need to do big and bold things right away. She does not. I'm pro-worker. She's not. Let's see. There's a big old laundry list of it. I'm not racist. She appears to be.
Okay. That's a heavy charge right there. Let's stop there for a second. That's a heavy charge. How does she to you appear to be?
The dog whistle.
The dog whistle. So the thing on crime and the Latin gangs and all of that coming in. That's a dog whistle. And that seems like faint racism to you.
Yeah, okay. And I've watched a bunch of videos of her being interviewed, and I watched a bunch of city council meetings. Right. And there's some anti-LGBTQ overtones too that happened in the city, and she didn't come out condemning it. It was that the city condemned it, but she didn't herself. Right. You know,
Right. There's that fine line that some people tend to walk, and it's that blurred vision for some. I do want to remind our audience, we have invited Diane Dixon on the program, and she is welcome anytime.
Can I add one more thing?
You can add as much as you want, Judy.
Oh, I don't take special interest money, and she got $206,000 from the developer community alone. She takes big oil money. She takes tobacco. Oh, yeah. Philip Morris gave her a full $4,900 donation. Oil and gas. Insurance, for some reason. They gave her $16,000. And I've taken none of this.
So you've made over $200,000. Where does your money come from?
It comes from individuals. I got a little bit of money from the environmental community, Sierra Club. I did get a max donation from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. And we can see the difference.
I call it squeaky clean money.
We can see the difference. Judy Mancuso is running for Assembly District 72. We look forward to speaking with you often between now and November. Judy, thank you for coming in this morning, sharing your ideas.
Thank you, Ed.
Judy Mancuso, 8:33 the time, 27 before 9. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.